When Pastor Jose was here, he had left this area and gone and to some new places in Virginia, and he had been down in Florida, and he's just traveling around. It's been pretty exciting to see how God's been opening doors to increase the ministry that he's to carry here and to connect us also overseas. And so one of the gentlemen, the churches that he connected with is very much, from what he says, very much like ours in terms of being desiring to be presence-oriented and not performance-oriented, but presence-oriented, in that things that we do and things that we minister come through that and come from that. So, you know, we like that. So anyway, he told me about a guy who had contacted him through Facebook, and he hadn't met him before. Well, no, he had met him before, but he had never been to that church. So his schedule was really wild when he was here. And, you know, how many of us know that if we can have everything figured out, that's always really nice in one sense. But God doesn't always do it that way. And so we didn't have a lot of his schedule put together when he was here. And it was just one of those, okay, God, it'll work out. Well, when we're trying to organize things, people's lives or ministry experiences and things like that, you know, it's really important that everybody's happy and flowing. Well, when you get here from Mozambique and that's not put together, without pointing a finger as to why, it's like, okay, Lord, you're going to do it somehow. So the things that look impossible, you just have to trust that God knows what he's doing and is going to work things out, because he's all about us moving forward in love and grace and understanding what that can look like. So that's kind of how that was approached when Relentless Pursuit was going on. So Relentless Pursuit this year, there was a whole lot of scheduling and organizing and trying to be administrative in a good way. At the same time, saying, Holy Spirit, can have your way, and what's going to happen here? What's it going to look like? And so all that's going on, there's also this desire to work out Pastor Jose's life and ministry, and that includes airplane tickets and people's schedules and connecting the dots so that there's no lapse. And that was a lot of work and effort from that perspective initially, in terms of, Lord, how's that going to look? So anyway, things started to shift and change, and phone calls and emails and discussions and just on and on and on. It seemed to be a lot of, things that weren't all together, that we just had to trust it was going to work for something positive. So then towards the end, people were canceling, people were changing what they were doing. It's like, all right, Lord, I still don't understand. All I know is Pastor Jose is here and he's leaving on a certain date. So this one person who is I had not met before, Facebooked him and just said, hey, heard you're around the country, can you come? So PJ got in touch with me and said, okay, how do you feel about this? Yeah, if it works out. So that meant changing things up, potentially canceling in a place or shortening that time, going to another place, shifting around plane tickets, you know, all that kind of stuff, and saying, Lord, how do you do all that without looking like you don't know what you're doing? And so when we got to talk with this one guy, and I think we're going to have a connection with this ministry in Virginia, just as soon as I talked to him on the phone, I felt the spirit was just so beautiful and so strong, and thought, wow, Lord, this is you. It's going to all come together. So what he did on his end, he cleared his schedule. He changed everything up because he saw the value. He recognized the value of Pastor Jose, who he carries, what he carries. It wasn't that he was impressed because of who he is associated with in the natural, but he has a recognition of who he carries. And I was really, really moved by that, because I've talked to a lot of people over the years that, in doing all this scheduling stuff and trying to be a help and an assistant that way. And it was amazing to me how that just came to pass. Now, you don't need to know all the ins and outs and details, but it wasn't an easy thing. And so it came to pass, and I as we talked on the phone and met this new friend, I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to meet someday, we're going to minister someday. And PJ said, you guys need to get out there. You need to get out to Virginia, and here's what's going to happen. Here's what should happen. So we said, yeah, we'll do that. So we called and talked and emailed, but we haven't really taken any of those kinds of steps. So then I'm on Facebook the other day, and I see that he's going with Mel Tari to Brazil. I was like, what? I was like, this is amazing. So I'm on Facebook with him, and I said, you're going to Brazil with Mel. Well, we've been in touch with Mel to find out when he's going, and it turns out that he'll be there when we're there. And I told you a couple weeks ago, I think, that Heidi Baker asked us to teach in the school, one of the schools that they have, the Harvest School in Rio de Janeiro, as part of the Brazil trip. Well, our family is in Sao Paulo, as you know, and we've passed through Rio, but we've never established anything there. So we said, yeah, we'll do that. And so then I find out that this gentleman with Mel Tari is going to be there that very week at that very school at that very time. I was like, come on. So it turns out that we're going to be together for the teaching and the graduation and all of that. And then I found out last night that Amy's sister, Christy, is at that school in Rio. I was like, that's just a small world, you know, what God's doing. And I don't know how that all plays into things. But I do know that God is very intentional, very specific. Sometimes when things are really beautiful and bright, we can easily lose sight of the fact that God's hand can be in a lot of different ways and places in our life to be able to draw our attention to Him in a new and refreshing way that will aid us in shouting, just shouting out what God's doing. So walls come tumbling down. The walls of heaven are already bursting forth. And I didn't know about the name of this until today, the event coming up. And Cynthia just told me in the office. And how our perspective of what that could be and what that could look like will be very maybe different from somebody else's. Because it's not, we'll come to a conference and you're going to learn about spiritual warfare because it's all about fighting demons. You know, that's just not our heart at all. It's all about bringing heaven to earth. And with that in mind, I don't know if, Lawrence and Cynthia, are you guys in here? They're somewhere else. They have a specific scripture. They're going to be sharing more. We have an annual meeting after this where food will be offered. So we'll go on back when we're finished and we'll feed you. And we're going to kind of give you the update of what we perceive God has been speaking to us about and what's happened so we can be encouraged for 2014. And this is a season of transition for all of us in a good way. And I just believe that God is saying, I want myself, and I believe He's saying, I'm looking at you guys because there's something bigger than you that's on the horizon, and I'm wanting us to pull in and go lower, lower and lower and lower. And that lower is going to look like Ezekiel 47, when we can actually put our ankles in, put our feet in, go up to our knees, go up to our hips, go up through our over our heads. And the lower we get, the more weight of His presence will be on us. It's not a place of going lower and being a scum or feeling like a condemned person, like we're doing it wrong, things aren't right. That's not what going lower is. Going lower is saying, Lord, I want you to show me about me, and I want you to help me see how going lower will be able to see more about my desires for bringing heaven to earth and what that's going to look like abroad and here. When Frontline started many years ago with a little group of people who didn't know what they were doing and still don't in many ways, just trying to say, Lord, we want to navigate this ship through these waters. Sometimes the waters will be easy, sometimes they'll be murky, sometimes they'll be hard, sometimes they'll be, the waves will seem very, very huge and tumultuous, and it's like, Lord, how do we stay linked together and go through these seasons where your desire is to bring revival everywhere? So you're going to hear today a lot of reporting of our interconnecting with other places and other people and how we see that fitting into the bigger picture, not just reporting, well, here's what we did. That's nice, and that's good. We want to give God glory, but we want to also cast vision so we're understanding more and more of how where we fit in the body of Christ and how He looks at things. So in that event, with that in mind, There's Heidi. Okay. This was on Facebook, and I was talking to a few people about this, and it's on my Facebook page. This is from 2010. It's only about 20 seconds or 50 seconds or something, less than a minute. And she was up in Cleveland, and she gave this message or this prophecy. That's a long time ago. How many of us can think back to what happened in 2010? Think about that. Think about your life. And so she's speaking here, and I just want this to be an impartation. Just hit me a few minutes before I stood up here that this is something that the Lord might have for us to be able to really sink our teeth into, because we're in a season that's going to look a little bit different, and I think he's speaking something about deep aspects of humility to us in this season that is going to rock our worlds, I believe. Okay.
There. I just, when I was coming into the meeting and in my room, I just felt like there were a huge amount of unfulfilled prophetic words over Cleveland. And the Lord said to not stop believing, to not abort his promises, because the promises are within the body of Christ, and they're pregnant, 9 months pregnant. And he's saying it's time to push. It's time to push. There's going to be a powerful revival here where hundreds of thousands of people are going to come into the kingdom. And it's costly, extremely costly, but God's going to bring it to pass if his people don't grow weary in the wait and aren't inconvenienced by the stretching and the pulling. So it's a long pregnancy, but it's going to come to pass.
Wow. It's a strong word. I've listened to it many different times, really thinking about the message that he would be giving, or she would be giving, the Lord through her, to us, what that really is meant to look like. Because that's a long time ago, and we can all rally and go, woohoo, it's 2010. But if the Lord was speaking to her coming into this region, not even from being around here, then just really trust and believe that God is releasing something in northeastern Ohio and different places in Ohio. Ohio has already been pinpointed as a very significant state in the nation, and we've been proponents of saying, yes, Lord, more, more, more. And in that realm, the Lord is telling us, I believe, that it's important for us to be extremely pure, purified in our motives, in our actions, in our attitudes. And the moment that we think we are, that's when he's going to show up and say, let me show you something else. And that's the Ezekiel 47, going lower. And that's where we can embrace a prophetic word like this and say, Lord, there's an incubation or gestational period of 9 months, but then there comes a time to push. And so we've been pushing, many who've been holding on to a word like this, not just because of the word, but because of that inner witness inside, for many, many years. But it seems as though it's getting really, really close to the birthing of what God wants to do for young adults in this area, colleges, university campuses, the things that we've been part of, and many others are doing something about in this local region as well as internationally. With Frontline, we see that we do a lot of things, and we can talk about later. I'm not going to go into those now. We have our hand in a lot of pots, and we've been doing that locally. And then we also are very, very verbal and visual about what we're doing internationally. And so there's a double call there. It's not one or the other. It's both and more. And so with that, sometimes it might feel as though that push is really stretching, or there's a stretching time. And it's easy to possibly feel as though we're growing weary, and we have to guard for that. And see what God would say, you know, to us about what that might feel like. What does that look like about growing weary, and also not perhaps even recognizing the stretching that's going to be happening or that is happening. There's a pull and there's a stretch. And sometimes it might not feel so swell. Those of us who've borne children, we know that that's not easy at all. But at the same time, we know that there's an end result. There's an end product coming that is going to be so worth it that we keep on going. But the interesting thing about a prophetic word like this and actually bearing a child is that the Lord wants to teach us something and wants us to learn something in the midst of that. in the midst of the process. He's saying, well, that's great to keep your eyes on the end result. But he's saying, what he's trying to teach us, what love looks like in the midst of that, where the Lord is teaching us how to function wisely in a body of people, in a family, in our own families, and also in this family. How can we increase in a way that will be a blessing, a big blessing to the people around us, so that people will be drawn to us, and then there's going to be a, you know, something that's coming where there's going to be a great increase as a result of that. So when Meltari was here for Relentless Pursuit, he spoke a lot of things to us regarding Pastor Bill and I and some of the leadership and such. We had a business gathering, a business meeting for those, some of those in Frontline who had been starting new things this year. And it was during the Relentless Pursuit weekend, but it was not part of what was going on here. But he gave us, he and Pastor Jose and Pastor Jerseo were giving us what they felt God was releasing in this season for those who are entrepreneurs and business people, and how to look at that from a kingdom perspective for this area and also internationally together. It's not one or the other, it's both and more. And I was really touched, and I'm not, you know, in a business, so to speak, but I believe that what's been sown here, prophesied here, and actually the beginning stages of really walking it out, it might seem like we've been doing this forever, but it really, it's still the beginning stages of this. When you get a prophetic word saying it's time to push and it's already 2014, what the heck does that mean? How much longer, God? But I think in the area of business and such, God has something very, very intentional and very specific that he wants to do that's going to directly affect this region and our body here. We're going to be part of that. And I believe that there are prophetic words and nuggets that we recorded during this time that seemed like, oh, it's a business meeting and we're learning, you know, getting some things. But God's doing something very, very direct with us so that we can increase the trust that we have for him and one another. He really wants that. He wants a trust level to be strong and be very secure, because there's something coming. And we might think it's going to be the, you know, the gold is out there on the trees and we're just pulling it in. And I believe it can look like that as well. But in that process of pushing through whatever God wants to bring or will bring, or even, you know, happens, things happen in the world, that God is saying, I'm preparing you right now. I am preparing you for something new. It's not exclusivity, it's inclusivity. God is saying, I'm including you in what I'm trying to birth. And as I had said recently to some people, how low are you willing to go? How low? What can that look like? What does low, going low, really look like? And so I know that when I had mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week even, that we heard Heidi give a message down for those who are receiving their degrees, doctorate degrees, doctoral degrees, and she was preaching, how low will you go? It's nice that you have another robe and, you know, some tags and something to put on your wall, but that's going to be in that apostolic realm. As she was speaking from an apostolic realm, she was saying, look, let things work for you, but I am looking for those who are of a different spirit. That I believe she was saying, the Lord was saying, and who are humble in heart, and you'll be able to really hear, really believe what I'm doing in this area for you, wherever that is. And I don't know, I would think, I've listened to the message several times, and I would think, if I were in that position, be it Roland who was there, or some other people that we know as well who were there, I would want to hear that over and over, because what happens is when we start to rise, and we start to build the things that God has told us, whether it's a new business, whether it's a new family, whether it's new whatever, you know, new school opportunity, or whatever it would be, that the Holy Spirit is indicating to us that there's going to be additional pushing and stretching in that area. And it's not to push you out or push you away. It's to bring you in to be more effective in the sphere that you're influencing in the body of Christ. It's like, okay, show me what that will look like. So when I was listening to this word again, as you heard it once, I've heard it a couple of times, she was saying that there's a very high cost to pay. It's very, very costly. Things will feel costly. They'll feel like, ugh. And the first thing the Lord will say to us is, take a look at you. Take a look at yourself. Not in a negative way, but in who you are, the identity that God has given from heaven to you. Take a look at that and watch what I will do when I bring things around. The Lord wants peace. He wants unity. He wants us to to partner together, to go as low as possible for the weight of his glory, for the pressure to be on us from a weighty pressure of the glory of God. That's what he wants for us, because in that place, then we hear him, we see him, and we're able to help the people who are near us, not derail, help the people who are near us be lifted up, lifted out. As Pastor Jose was saying back, another one that comes to my mind, when he was preaching about Joseph about a year ago, he said he was, I believe, to use the word, he was completely taken over. He used the word possessed, other people do, but he was completely taken over by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit possess me is not a, you know, a wrong thing to say. It is the right thing to say. Holy Spirit, you live in me, but overtake me, overshadow me. Okay? And so that's what he was doing, and he was saying, come out of the cistern, come out of the cistern, come out of the cistern. And he was talking really to the Josephs in here. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you very much. To the Josephs that we, there's Joseph anointing in here to build, to rescue, to be able to help people. Joseph saved a nation. Joseph was used by God, but he was also put in the cistern. And the Lord was saying, don't keep looking at the cistern, come up and come out. And when you take a look at your life, take a look at what's being done and what's being said during every part of the process. It might feel like you're being whooped and slapped and this and that. And God says, my hand is involved, not in something that's negative, but my hand is involved to create something better for you and in you. And then when Joseph came out and his brothers came to see him in Genesis 40 through 50, if you want to read those 10 chapters, not today, because Andy's going to come up and share some things with me, you'll see that Joseph was actually put in a position where he was raised up by God after being completely and totally brought to a place where not only his gifts were being used of being able to be an interpreter of dreams, having dreams, but also he was able to become an influence in a way that God could use because of the humility that was being birthed in him. There's a difference between humility and arrogance. Humility is going so low that you're saying, God, I can't figure this out, help. Being so flexible in the Holy Spirit. And arrogance is resisting that voice. And then only God knows the difference, but we don't want to resist what that voice of the Holy Spirit would look like. And that's what PJ was talking about, I believe, one of the things when he was saying, come out of the cistern. In other words, when Joseph said, when he was also in prison and he had the baker and the cupbearer and he was going through various things in his own heart, he was saying to them and also to Pharaoh, he was saying, I was put in that cistern and I didn't deserve it. It's like, okay, when you start saying, hey, listen, this shouldn't have happened. I didn't deserve this. That could be a big clue that God's not finished. And that God is saying, you know what, this is, we don't want any self-righteousness in any of us. I didn't deserve this, but, you know, my brothers, they really screwed up. All I was doing was giving them a prophetic word. And, you know, they had this robe and everything. And what the heck? They had no right to sell me. They had no right to do this. They had no right to lie to my father. And God took that self-righteousness and maybe self-pity right out of Joseph through the trials, through what he went through. It's a big deal to track his life. And so at the end, when he has the dream about the famine that's coming and the Lord, or the Pharaoh has that dream and he's interpreting that dream, Joseph understood that he had a part to play in bringing about, if you will, the great revival that Heidi's talking about for this area as well as overseas. In other words, revival in that land. But there were things that had to happen. Joseph was going to be used by God to be able to prevent people from going down, going under, missing the part of their destiny that God wanted to have for them because they could die, because there's no food. That's one thing. So God needed to prepare Joseph to come out of the cistern completely, to be able to function in the best capacity. This body of people is filled with movers and shakers. All of us are movers and shakers. And God is saying, listen, I'm not mad at you. I'm for you. I'm in your court. Let's link arms. Let's see. Let's go so low that we will look at one another and say, you know what? I'm going to think the best about that person. I'm not going to keep a record of wrongs. I'm going to think the best. I'm going to look at who they are and lift them up. And this is what Joseph did for his brothers. Joseph did this. When they came, because they were led, you know, to go to Egypt, they didn't recognize him. They thought he was dead. And they thought, well, that was taken care of. And Jacob, our father, is really getting old, and he still likes us. And he thinks Joseph is dead, and he grieved, but it's over. And then when Joseph saw them, he was really cut to the chase, because he had already completely and totally forgiven them through the process that he had gone through. And then when he had forgiven them, he was so concerned that they wouldn't be completely wrecked themselves. Because he knew that if he made himself known to them, or even the people in Egypt, if they knew that, hey, these dudes right here, these are the ones that hurt our Joseph, and these are the ones who were wicked and evil and threw him in. And so instead of pointing a finger saying, yeah, you know, they did me wrong, they did me in, he covered them. He covered them with his beauty and his love for them. And he even sent them back to Jacob, because they were going to make up a lie and come up with something to protect themselves. But that's not what he did. He told his brothers, listen, when you go to Jacob, when you go to Dad, as he wept before them, let him know, you know, it's okay. Bring him, in the sense that I'm going to bring him into the goodness. And so he protected the brothers from that possible shame of the sin that they had committed against him. And because of that great love and that great forgiveness, not only were they saved, not only was Jacob blessed, and not only were the people from that his homeland blessed, not only was Egypt blessed, but the future of what God wanted to do through Joseph, who was a type of Christ, was able to continue because he experienced, even in his own imperfection, because he's human, he's not Jesus, he experienced the grace of Jesus Christ. We're in a season where God is showing us what greater grace and great grace looks like, so we can process together, so we're as clear and clean as possible. So as things happen, as storms come, if storms are going to come in this area, okay, they've been prophesied. I'm not a doom and gloom person, but they've been prophesied for this region, for areas. I don't know how this great big hundreds of thousands of people outpouring is going to come. I do believe it's true. Bears witness in my heart and what I've seen and what I believe others have seen as well. I believe it's true. And I believe that we are used as rescuers. We're going to be used as people who will have gone through so much, okay, in the ebb and the flow of what God wants to do, that as a revivalist, as a harvester for what God wants to see birthed, that we will cooperate with anything, partnering together so that we can see something bigger, and that we can look at each other, lean on each other, even with our faults and foibles, and say, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. We're going to need that more and more. We're going to need that in our families. And I think God is trying to teach people in this season really what forgiveness really looks like beyond what we say we understand. I spoke some things last week about forgiveness and gave a lot of scriptures, but I want to, and you can dwell on those. And I was just really asking the Lord, what do you want me to do today? And he says, speak from your heart today and speak on the word which he just gave me with Joseph like that. And I'm going to ask Andy to come up. We had fire and wind at our house on Tuesday, and because we had a possible frozen pipes here or something, and you know, here we go. We had a flood right before we relentless pursuit, if you remember, from the baptismal coming down, and we met in the back very simply, getting back to the basics, if you will, but still powerfully, before relentless pursuit began. And so I was thinking about this. The pipes froze. That's interesting. So everybody who was able to make it out, thank you if you did. It was very hard. If you didn't, it was a very cold night. So Andy, I had asked beforehand, I said, Andy, could you please share lead at Fire and Wind? I didn't know it was going to be at our house. And he said, sure. So when we got into the family room and all of that, and people were spread wherever, Andy shared something that just really touched my heart deeply. So this morning I just had this sense, not that he has to repeat everything, because God takes us from glory to glory, but I feel that he's got something, God gave him something that was really powerful, and it was touching, it was life-changing. And some of you were there, and again, it was a little bit of a smaller group, I think because of the weather, and that's understandable. But I know that Andy's changing in this season. I know I'm changing in this season. And that would be my question to you. Are you changing in this season? Because that's what God has. He wants us to change. And he's doing it, the changing. Sometimes we think that's running. That's not the changing. It's changing on the inside. And that's what we want to be able to do, to help one another to change so we can see. And so I know that he's shared that God's changing him on the inside, and his encounters with the Holy Spirit. I don't know details, but he's telling us that God's getting him, speaking to him, talking to him, wrecking him. And that's all that really, you know, matters to us, is that God is doing that with each one of us and more, so that we're going after the more. So anyway, whatever, I have no idea what you're going to say. So I don't know. This is going to spill out of what the Holy Spirit's been doing for him and in him and through him. So I don't know. But I know it's been sweet, because something that he said to me the other day was that all I want to do is hear what the Holy Spirit is really saying, and I want to go through his process of getting to know his voice better. I said, well, that's good. I like that.
Well, microphone. One of the things that just I've been, you know, in my heart endeavoring to reflect on in this season is, as I know that the Lord has established and built something on the inside of each one of us, that each one of us here carries a, you know, absolutely unique reflection of who the Lord is. Each one of us carry a unique circumstance and situation where the Holy Spirit, where the Lord has broken through in your life and your heart, and it's your testimony, it's yours, you own it. Nobody else has that experience and that encounter with you. And one of the things that has just been so amazing to me is how the Lord works, in that he chooses to demonstrate who he is through our lives. He chooses to demonstrate his victory on the cross through us in our own lives, overcoming obstacles, insecurities, fears, any number of those things. And when, you know, Pastor Ray Pat shared something with me on that Tuesday night at Fire and Wind to share anything that's on your heart, I mean, I came in, I was, you know, expecting the Lord would, you know, move and do something. And just as she was praying to open up the meeting, the Lord was bringing back to me all these memories, because, you know, we've experienced a lot in the early years in that very room there at the old, you know, the old Goki, the old Goki house. And as I was sitting there on the floor by the fireplace with the same white carpet, That obviously through years has been stained a little bit, but it's all for the glory of God. The Lord was just reminding me of different experiences and encounters that I had with Him in that very place. I remember that I got, for the first time I can remember, ever really blitz drunk in the Holy Spirit on that carpet. Just mission training weekends for going overseas. I can't even describe to you some of the encounters with heaven, but also the encounters with individuals, friendships that were developed and forged. When, you know, there's been times where, you know, and I don't know if I've shared it here before or not, but I've been overseas, and now, you know, obviously Troy's right now in Mozambique. He's not in Mozambique, he's in Brazil. But there's times where, you know, Brazil, Mozambique, or something. But there's been times where, you know, it might be in the middle of the night or early evening, and myself and Troy were off doing something, and it just kind of hits me. You know, obviously it's some kind of either ministry purpose. We're not going to, like, look for Cokes or anything. We're but it's like I find myself, and I'm in another country, you know, we're pouring out our lives for the gospel, we're staying up late, we're working on updates, we're, you know, we've seen, I can't, the things that I've seen the Lord do overseas, I mean, if you really sit down and think about it, and don't take this word the wrong way, they're insane. I mean, it's crazy. The things that the Lord has put us into, and one of the things that I just, it blows my mind is that one of the first times that we've gone to northern Ghana, we went to this prayer camp, and Pastor Ray Pat was sharing and preaching the gospel to these individuals that were there, and some of them were so demonized that they literally were chained to logs. And like, I'm not minimizing that. They were literally chained to logs because they were so demonized. And we've got this young group of 20-somethings, high schoolers, college-age students, just trusting the Lord. The gospel's going forth in power. The Holy Spirit's presence falls so powerfully that people literally just begin to manifest demons in this camp. Like craziness, just outbreak of the Holy Spirit everywhere. And it's kind of like, what do we do? Pray! That's what we're here to do. We're here to pray and release the glory of God. And we did, and we saw breakthrough, amazing breakthrough. And that was forged. Some of that encounter, that experience, that release of heaven was actually forged in the spirit, in the physical location, back at the, you know, at the Gokie's Ranch on the white stained carpet. Because there was a place there where the presence was released, to where he deposited things on the inside of us that we could release in the nations. And I've been able to see that firsthand and participate in that. And so one of the most, this is somewhat of what I shared on Tuesday, but one of the most amazing things that has stirred up in my heart is that those times that I've been with Troy overseas or whatever, there's a bond of friendship to where the Lord can take us into places of spiritual warfare, of contention, of seeing the kingdom released, where we have a history. We have a dynamic. We have a friendship that's been forged in the very thing that she was talking about this morning. It's been forged in that fire, so it's going to be able to withstand what's coming. And it's in when we're in the heat of the battle, we're able to trust each other because of what we've seen the Lord do on the inside of us. We can trust each other because we're trusting the testimony of who the Lord is. And I love it because He collectively brings together a group of people, each one having an individual testimony of what the Lord's done on the inside of them, but then He just puts them together and then He uses them to be a reflection of who He is in the earth. And one of the amazing things is that He's uniquely brought together this body to express a certain aspect of the Lord's heart in the earth that nobody else can do. That doesn't mean that we're better than anyone else. My goodness, we're going to go low. We're here to serve. Jesus came to serve. But obviously, Jesus represented the most unique expression of the kingdom ever, which brought all of us into the family. And the Lord doesn't want us to lose sight of what He's wrought on the inside of us. He doesn't want us to lose sight of the personal testimony that he's worked in us, because that personal testimony that he has worked in us, it affects this body in a positive way. Because Christy carries something that I don't have. I mean, she does. You know, Phil and Heather carry something that I don't have, that Shell has. But it's each something uniquely that contributes to what the Lord wants to release in the earth. And the thing that the Lord's been stirring up in my heart is that the enemy wants to steal away those breakthrough moments that we've had in our lives and in our hearts. And so on Tuesday night, the Lord had brought up to me about Joshua, about how in Joshua 3 and 4, and you can read it sometime, but how when they crossed the Jordan River to go in and take the promised land, just like the Lord parted the Red Sea for Moses, the Lord parted the Jordan River for the children of Israel to cross over to go in to take their inheritance, to go in and possess the land that the Lord was giving to them. And the Lord was also showing the children of Israel that he was with Joshua just the way that he was with Moses, because he was breaking through. And Joshua commanded the Lord spoke to Joshua to have the priests go into the middle of the river. And as their feet touched, the water backed up and people were able to cross over on dry ground. And the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he had to take the 12 tribes of Israel and have each one of them get a stone, get a rock out of the middle of the river and set it up on the shore so that it's going to be a remembrance. It's going to be a remembrance. So years later, after you've already gone in, after you've already possessed the land, after you've already inherited the promises, and you're walking through the land with your kids, and your kids see a pile of stones, you're like, what's that for? Well, that's for when the Lord came and broke through and actually brought us into the place. That's the place where the Lord came in and broke through for us. And that was amazing. But one of the things I had never noticed in that passage is that one of the things that Joshua did as well is that he picked up 12 stones himself. And he put 12 stones right in the middle of the river, right where the priests were standing. And I was kind of asking the Lord, why did he do that? I mean, obviously he set up the testimony on the side. But he also very uniquely and specifically set up a little monument, for lack of a better word, to the exact place where the Lord had broken through with his presence, being that's where the ark was. And the Lord was stirring up on the inside of me that each one of us have specific, unique times where the presence of the Lord breaks through in our lives and in our hearts. And he's calling us to mark those, to register those, and to use those as a reference point against the enemy when the fires get hot. Because I have a reference point. I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. I know that it is finished because that's what he said. But I also know those personal moments where he's come in, where I've had that encounter with him, where I know that I'm touched. I know that I'm changed. I know that he's broken through for me. And I know that I have a reference point. That's not just the cross, and not in any way minimizing that at all. But it's where the Lord, it's where we experience the Lord, and we pull that reality of what he accomplished on the cross into our lives, where it's an actual reality that we walk in. And after that's an actual reality that we walk in, then the amazing part is that he can use us then to release that same reality in the life of somebody else. Because you have a specific, unique anointing to release that. Because you've experienced it. You have knowledge of it. You have understanding of it. Even sometimes if you don't, the Lord can still use you to release breakthrough in the lives of other people. It's not that you have to have those. But the Lord just makes it sweeter that way. Because he's developing on the inside of you not only a personal language and a revelation of how he speaks to you, but he's also developing on the inside of you, this is where I've come through for you. This is where I've come through for you. This is where I've come through for you. And one of the things that the Lord spoke and reminded me of, he said, Andy, if you look at the children of Israel, they forgot. They forgot. You know, at first they're like, oh yeah, get me out of Egypt. And then they're up against the river and it's like, this ain't so fun. You know, you got them bearing down on you and everything else. And obviously they're entered into some complaining. And then they go into the desert. They cross the Red Sea. The Lord parts it. I mean, think about it. You're literally walking through an ocean to where you see water up on this side, water up on this side. You know, that's going to stick out in your memory. I would at least hope for me it would stick out in my memory. Because that would be... Did you know, just like a couple million people simultaneously dream that? You know, and then you get out into the desert. They get frustrated. Moses goes up on a mountain. They have some time to themselves. And they cobble together a golden calf. Like that. I mean, like, they literally went through the Red Sea. Moses is gone for a little bit, and they're like, gold calf. And I love how, you know, Moses, not that I love that they made the gold calf, but there's some awesome interactions between God, you know, saying better get down to the people because they're going nuts. And Moses challenges Aaron, and Aaron's like, well, we just threw the gold in the fire and out came a calf. It's like, no. But unfortunately, but fortunately, because we live under a new covenant, there's something within the human condition that we can forget some of the things that the Lord's brought us through. We can forget what he's done and what he's wrought in us. The enemy wants to steal away those testimonies, not only so that it can just wreck our lives and our hearts, but so that it can essentially wreck and destroy the lives of other people. Because what the Lord has wrought in you, you're able to offer to somebody else. And that's what we're able to do here collectively, as this body is, be able to offer something that the Lord's expressing in the earth that's going to change the destinies of nations. And so, I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, you could extrapolate it. Well, I don't know. I don't want to forget. And I don't want to forget because this is the one time. This is the one shot on earth that I got. And it's one of the things that keeps coming back to me, and Patricia King shared it years ago, and it's one of the things that's completely stuck into my heart that no matter what, it just won't get shaken out of me. Is that when we die and when we go to heaven, there's no more battles, there's no more fights, there's no more resistance, there's none of that. None. Because we're in heaven. I mean, it's over. We've crossed over, we've got the victory, we're on the eternal shore, you know. We're in the sweet by and by. And that's going to be amazing. Like, we're literally going to live forever with Jesus, and that's incredible. But this here, on earth, this reality, right now, this time, on the earth, is the only one shot that we got. And this is the only time where the reality of what Jesus accomplished in the cross can get wrought in us to where we can overcome situations and circumstances in our lives through his power working on the inside of us. That's crazy. It's the one shot we got. And my heart is, however imperfectly, I life's too short to not let the Lord demonstrate who he is through me. Because he's showing me that I would actually be robbing other people, not because I'm this horrible person, but I'd actually be robbing other people of seeing and knowing and experiencing him just because I might have a problem with something. I mean, it's that simple. And it's not like the Lord's up there beating us over our head. But he is drawing us closer and closer and closer to Him and to His heart, for us to have those things on the inside of us worked out. And He's the only one that can do that. And one of the things that encouraged me so much in my heart of wanting to remember what the Lord's done in my own heart, not just so I can sit there in the corner and, well, you Lord, you did this, you did this, you did this. Wow, I must be really awesome. The furthest thing from it. It's, how in the world did I get here? But by the grace of God go I. I mean, how? What? Why? I mean, I know for me, if Jesus didn't step into my life and heart, I'd be dead. I'd be somewhere else. I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I'd be, but it wouldn't be following the Lord. Because even when He was speaking to me at that time in my heart, I was like, like I don't want it. Now, deep down in my heart, of course I wanted it. That's what we were created for, because the Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. But don't let the enemy convince you this morning that you're poor, that you've lacked something, that you're not rich. Because He's deposited something amazing on the inside of each one of you. And and life's too short to not let Him out. I mean, I shared this with Shello years ago. And I've shared it before again, but ultimately, like, don't take this the wrong way, but ultimately, like, everything's going to burn. Like, everything really, 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 at the end of the day, you know, when we stand before Jesus, it's only going to be what has been birthed from His word. It's only going to be what's been birthed in His heart. It's only going to be birthed, what's birthed on the inside of us. That's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing that's going to remain. And I don't know about you, but, you know, when it talks about in Scripture about how, you know, the 24 elders cast their crowns before the Lord, and I believe that uniquely in heaven, each one of us is going to have something to be able to put at the foot of Jesus as an act of worship. And I believe that what we're able to put at His feet as what He's done in our lives and what He's enabled us to overcome, where it will be, Lord, when I was on earth, I allowed You to work in my heart to where who You are, who You were, who You're going to be was demonstrated through me to where other people can see it. That's one of the things I'm so excited for, is that, I don't know about you, but I know that, you know, we're going to be in heaven forever. I want to hear everybody's testimony. Everyone's. Because everyone has that unique thing of where you could have been a child who was, you know, sold into sexual slavery and you were bound. But yet there was a group of people here one night that was praying, that supernaturally was contending for a release, and that you literally walked out of whatever type of life situation that you were in, that you found yourself, where God just sovereignly came down and moved you out, and you were set free, and you were set free from captivity. And the Lord shows you that that was because part of the reason why that you were set free was because somebody was praying and contending and an all-night prayer time here to see breakthrough in that area. That'll make me cry for a million years. Like, it will. I mean, Jesus died on the cross for my sin when I didn't deserve it. is enough of eternity of crying forever, of just of thankfulness, of gratitude. But there's so many people that already have been affected by the lives that are here, that are by the lives in this body. And there's so many more people that are going to be. And so my encouragement to all of us, myself included, is to not forget what the Lord has wrought in our hearts, to not forget the testimony that He's established. And one of the things that He spoke to me, He said, Andy, as you spend time with me, as you seek out that one-on-one time, you spend it with me, you come before me, you're still, you're quiet, you're listening, you're ready and hungering to receive my word. He said, I will walk you through reminding you of something that you might have forgotten. I'll remind you of where I've broken through, because what the Lord has wrought in us is precious to Him, not just because it's for us, but it's because it's for other people as well. And I'm just sharing all of that because we really, 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 really are blessed. We are. And I'm excited for what the future holds. And one of the things, you know, we're talking about the children of Israel and how they forgot. And us in our own lives, we're in a better and we're under a new covenant. And one of the things that, I mean, all of us want to see the Lord. How many of us want to see the Lord break through in supernatural, miraculous ways? All of us do that. All of us say that. That's a dangerous prayer. It really is a dangerous prayer. I mean, you can, Holy Ghost, goosebumps, yes, that's awesome. Yeah, I want that. I can feel it. But you realize that He has to put us in impossible situations for that to happen. I mean, think about that. Now, the Lord knows what He's doing, but you will find yourself in an impossible situation where it's just like, Lord, you have to break through here, because if not, there's nothing. The Lord had to break through for Moses and the children of Israel at the Red Sea, or there's nothing. And the thing I think the Lord's encouraging all of us, and in my heart, and in your guys' heart, is that if we're up against an impossible situation, or what even feels like an impossible situation, I don't want to get mad at the Lord because He's answering my prayer. I mean, it's just that simple. I don't want to get mad at Him if He's answering my prayer. And if I do get mad at Him, I know that He'll forgive me. But that doesn't make it right. That's not an excuse. But one of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about, and people a lot will, you know, if they're facing difficulties and hard times in their life, it's just sometimes like people just go to the book of Job. I've been reading the book of Job. But, you know, sometimes, you know, people will do that and they'll go to the book of Job and they'll start at the beginning of his horrible life circumstances. And, you know, I mean, that's probably one of the oldest books in the Bible. And then, you know, trying to figure out the whole thing of how Satan can come before the Lord and that whole dynamic. But I think one of the things that I've missed, and sometimes that we always miss in that book, is if you run all the way to the end, all the way to the end, to, you know, Job 41 and 42, the Lord basically, lovingly, rebukes Job. And he was, you know, the Lord goes through describing either a dinosaur or crocodile, some kind of animal. And he just goes through, lists it all out. I mean, I had to skip over some of it because I'm like, Lord, this is really long description. But I got to the end and it was. It is. I think he elongated it to prove his point. Because at the end of it, he said, if there's this essentially fearsome creature that's being described. I'm paraphrasing here, but that's, if you read it, that's what it says. And the Lord says to Job, would you just basically go up and mess with that thing? Would you just go and like poke it, mess with it, like incur its wrath, you know, have it focus all of its attention on you? Would you like basically stir it up? And you guys can ask Nikki. I'm when I get around animals, I love animals, but I become like an animal antagonist. I like poke them. I want to mess with them. I love them, but I love seeing them react to things because they're animals. I mean, anyway, that's a side note. But there's that aspect of me that, you know, I want to see a reaction. I want to, you know, I want to mess with animals. But really, the Lord was speaking to me saying, you wouldn't stir that thing up because of any number of dynamics. And I know, and don't, you could take this the wrong way, and that's not what I believe the Lord's heart is. But the Lord was speaking to me saying, you wouldn't stir up that thing. But yet you're basically stirring up things against me because you find yourself in situations that are impossible. So if you wouldn't do that to a natural animal, why are you doing that to me? And that was a bit sobering. Because all of us, we have reasons. We have thoughts. And the Lord isn't angrier upset at those. But it was realizing in that passage at the end of Job that the Lord was just describing how awesome he is. And at the end of the day, he's going to take care of it. And I'm going to miss out on the opportunity of seeing him break through an impossible situation if I'm mad at him because I'm in an impossible situation. And so what he has me in the process in, and I think what he has all of us in the process in, is that he wants to pull that out of this inside of any one of us that has that going on in the inside of impossible situations that we find ourselves in. And that's not to say that we're horribly bad people. We're not. But, you know, sometimes in our desire to, which is not a bad desire, sometimes in our desire to be good, we can sometimes gloss over some of the things that are really, really on the inside of us. Sometimes we can, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but there's sometimes where I come across some scriptures where I'm just kind of like, just zip over that one. You know, if you have any, you know, evil on the inside of you, of course I don't. I've got the Father's love. I do have the Father's love. There's probably still a little bit of evil somewhere in there. Because we're in the process of the Lord redeeming us and working that testimony in us. So that's all to say that I believe 100% completely that his Spirit's here today, right now. Because he wouldn't have me share something like this and then be like, okay. Why don't you just take that and, you know, sit on that and stew on it for about 5 weeks so you don't actually have to deal with anything that's going on in your heart. That makes sense. So anytime the Lord presents something, then there's an opportunity for that to be released because he's so good. He's so good. He's really good. And you know what? He's good enough to point those things out to us in our hearts without just kicking us to the wayside. Because he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to answer our prayers. But he can't help himself because he's just too good. He is so, so very good. So, Lord, Father, we just, right now, Lord, in the Spirit, Lord, Father, we thank you that you're faithful to answer our prayers. Father, we're thankful that you've brought us to the place, Father, of us actually out of our mouths asking you to put us in impossible situations. And Father, I'm here this morning, Lord, and we're here together as a body, Father, and we repent, Father, on the inside of us, Father, where we have, Father, any anger, any frustration, Lord, any bitterness at you, Father, at impossible situations, Lord, that we find ourselves in. And Lord, we believe that today, Father, will be a day of breakthrough. That, Father, that today will be a day of release, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your goodness and your kindness, Father, leads men to repentance, Lord. It leads us to repentance because you're so very good. You so love us. You're so for us. And so, Father, we freely, Father, release to you, Father, Lord, any bitterness, Lord, any anger, any frustration, Lord, that we have at you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, any condemnation, Father, that goes along with that, Father, we release it to you. Lord, any fear, Father, that you won't break through, Father, for us, Lord, we release to you. Father, any eyes that we focus solely on ourselves, Father, and not our brothers and not our sisters, that, Father, that need the breakthrough that you're going to bring to us, Father, for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we repent of that. Father, we ask forgiveness for that. Lord, I thank you that, Father, that this year, 2014, Father, is a new year. Father, of seeing your glory breaking through, Father, in the deepest, darkest areas of our own heart. Father, so that we can go into the deepest, darkest areas of the earth, Lord, to see your heart released. And so, Father, here this morning, Father, we pile up, Father, those stones in the middle of the river, Father, to mark, Father, where your presence broke through on our behalf. And Father, I thank you that you will guide us, Holy One. You will remind us, you will restore to us, Father. Holy One, what the enemy has stolen away, Father. Lord, for what we've come into agreement with, Lord. Father, you are so amazing. So, Lord, this morning we just let it lift off of us, Father. We just let it lift off, Lord. Because you're so very good. And Lord, we receive that by faith. Whether there's feelings or emotions attached to it or not, Lord, we receive it by faith. Just one thing that's come up in my heart here is, as we've been praying, is that I believe it was that Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And the Lord touched him in his hip, and he was forever marked from that moment on. The Lord even changed his name to Israel. But he was marked by an encounter with the Lord. And Lord, I thank you that this morning, Lord, you're marking people, you're marking hearts. And Lord, we open up our hearts to you to be marked by you. Father, I thank you that, Holy One, that Father, this year, Lord, will be a year of fulfilled promises. And that it won't just so that we can sit there and hold up our fulfilled promise and rub it all over ourselves. But Lord, that it would be a year of fulfilled promises, Lord, for other people. Father, that they will be touched, they will be changed by what you're working in us. And Father, that you would guard our hearts, Father, against any selfishness that would want to keep it to ourselves. Lord, we thank you, Father, for fulfillment in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for restoring us, Lord, bringing back to our remembrance, Lord, where you've broken through for us. And that you'll do that in your sweetness and your kindness. You're so good, Lord. So be it.
Thank you, Lord.
Just stay up here, Andy. If the worship team can come up, Christy has a song that she's going to close with here. While they come up, just close your eyes. Let me read to you something. In Genesis 45, and Andy, if you want to, if the Lord, you're asking the Lord, touch me in some ways, Andy's going to pray for you while we sing here, and there's going to be a shift. Andy's experienced a lot of deep things in his heart in recent times, and I think it's showing even more through his word to us. Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me here before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. So therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler all over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. And you shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. I will provide for you.'" And then closing is Genesis 50, verse 20. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So as we close, these are powerful words. And God is saying, take a look at where you are. And if you look at it through my eyes, the result that I've intended for you will be very different than maybe what you're wondering or thinking. Let God touch you this final moment as we sing together, whatever we're singing. It's a very powerful song. Just encourage you to come and just let Andy lay hands on you. He has something that he can impart to you to break through something that you might be feeling or thinking. It's still between you and God, but I just really sense that there's an anointing on him right now, and God wants to do something for you. Don't forget, we have the meeting right after this.